Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Fact, Fiction, or Bullshit. Or for all my new listeners out there, the FFB podcast for short. Hi, my name is PJ, and every episode we will delve into the unknown to look at the history, the facts, the theories, and the conspiracies, then ultimately decide fact, fiction, or bullshit. We all have family, right? And I mean immediate, so mum, dad, sisters, brothers. And the reason I say immediate is because there is a special kind of bond. You favour them family members above all else. But is that level raised to an even higher state of mind if you're twins? There is always that common misconception that twins know when something is up with the other. That they could almost, if you will, read each other's minds. Sort of having a shared conscious like. There have been many studies carried out researching this. But more often than not, the results simply don't come back. And they really can't do any of that stuff. No more than me or any of my siblings can. Don't get me wrong, when you've been around someone your whole life, then of course you get to know their actions, what they're like, even finish each other's sentences, but that's the same for most siblings, twins or not. But this leads me on to today's podcast. I remember watching a TV show when I was younger, and I think it was called Motorway Cops or Traffic Cops, and I'm assuming they have shows like this all over the world. What was weird for me on this particular episode, and I still remember it vividly, was how crazy, how scary, how morbid it was. To be honest, ladies, gents and people, it proper freaked me out. For me, I just thought it was a pair of women high on drugs. But how wrong I was. Today, I will be speaking about the Erikson twins, where I will be asking the questions, did these two really share a psychotic episode together? Were these two really connected in a way that, according to science, is not possible? Or was it really a case of these two going completely off the rails? So join me as I ask those questions on a case I can say made me ask the question why so many times. Ursula and Sabina Erikson were born on the 3rd of November 1967 and they were identical twins. They had an elder sister called Mona and an elder brother named Bjorn. By the year 2000, Ursula had relocated to the US and Sabina had moved to Ireland with her husband and two children. I just want to add this now so all you out there can grasp how out of character this was for them both. The Eriksons, and this is the whole family by the way, did not have any criminal records or mental health issues. The Eriksons' strange trip began in May 2008, when Ursula travelled from the US to visit her twin sister Sabina in County Cork, Ireland. Within 24 hours of her arrival, the two took a ferry to Liverpool. The reason for this trip is unknown by the way. Upon arrival, the twins made a trip to St Anne Street Police Station to report concerns over Sabina's children back in Ireland. What the concern was, I don't know. Why this has never been released, also, I don't know. They then proceeded to board a National Express coach to London. However, once on board, their behaviour took an erratic turn. When they boarded, they refused to put their bags in the hold. The driver then asked if he could inspect the bags to make sure they were safe to travel. The pair refused. The driver reluctantly backed down and allowed them safe passage. Thing was, according to the driver, their behaviour got worse when he started driving, and upon reaching the services at the M6, he kicked them both off his coach. Why he kicked them off, I don't know. They must have done something, but there are no details. Sabina and Ursula, now stranded, begin to walk along the central reservation on the M6 motorway. Now, having travelled on plenty of these, the lane closest to them is the fast lane, and cars can go anywhere from 70 to 80 miles per hour. And that's me being conservative on the speed, by the way. They then tried to cross the motorway, and Sabina was actually clipped by a car. They then retreated back to the central reservation. Thankfully, by now they'd been picked up by cameras, and several people had called the police to tell them what was happening. Upon the police's arrival, they found that the twins had actually crossed the motorway. They seemed in good spirits, with both sisters chatting away to an officer. And this is when, in my eyes, it goes batshit crazy. I've seen a video of this, and both sisters seem happy and conversational. Then out of nowhere, Ursula suddenly runs out into the motorway. Just as she gets to the middle lane, she's hit by a lorry going at 56 miles per hour, and this dragged her body under its wheels where it crushed her legs. Thing was, ladies, gents and people, this was not the end of it by a long shot. Her sister Sabina then followed her. She was hit by a car, smashing its windscreen and crushing the roof as she went over the top of it and fell to the floor unconscious. Paramedics rushed to the scene and both sides of the motorway were shut. Upon arrival, they rushed to Ursula to aid her. Both her legs were broken, and she actually tried to resist the paramedics by screaming and scratching at them. This I can understand if you have an injury like this. You're in shock, but she then spits at them. And from that, I can see something was just not right. Sabina, after 15 minutes of being unconscious, then sat up, and then she proceeded to stand up. When I see this video, I was dumbstruck. It looked like she was a Terminator. She then punches a female officer in the face and vaults the barrier onto the other side of the motorway. She was subdued by 6 police officers, 5 male and 1 female. And I say that for a reason, and that's because it took this many to hold her down and restrain her. I still don't know how a woman, or any person for that matter, can be hit twice by 2 cars on a motorway and still have that much strength. You know what threw me though? Sabina started shouting to her sister, "They're gonna steal your organs, they're gonna steal your organs." Ladies, gents and people, I really would like to say that the weird stops here, but it don't. Ursula was taken to hospital as her injuries were severe. Sabina pleaded guilty on May 19th, 2008 to the charges of trespass on the motorway and an assaulting a police officer. She was sentenced to 1 day in prison, which she was deemed to have served after spending a night in the cells. Upon her release, she began to wander the streets of Stoke-on-Trent in an attempt to find her sister. She then came across Glenn Hollingshead, who was out with a friend walking his dog. Sabina asked if there's any nearby B&Bs or hotels she could stay at. 54-year-old Mr. Hollingshead took pity on her and said she could stay with him. Her behaviour was erratic from the off, always looking out the windows, going from window to window, floor to floor. It was the following day, whilst he was making her dinner, that she stabbed him multiple times with a kitchen knife. He staggered out the house to her neighbours, where he said, "She stabbed me, she stabbed me," before collapsing in an alleyway and dying. She then fled the scene with a hammer in hand, smashing herself over the head with it. A passing motorist tried to help, although if he knew what she'd just done, I doubt he would have. She smashed him over the head with a roof tile. After hitting the motorist, she tried to escape, but the police gave chase. It came to an end at Heron Cross, where she jumped from a 40-foot high bridge onto the A50. She broke both her ankles and fractured her skull. Tests would later reveal that she had no traces of alcohol or drugs in her system. She was arrested upon her release from hospital for the murder of Mr. Hollingshead. At trial, she offered no explanation for her actions, with most of the questions asked getting a no comment in reply. She pleaded guilty to manslaughter with diminished responsibility. I want to add this, ladies, gents and people. The original video of them on the motorway was never played. I've made a decision to play the clip, just so you can hear the distress in the police officers' voices. I do warn you though, that some of you might find this distressing.
My counsel, we need ambulance, senior officers to the scene, we've got 2 possible fatals.
Absolutely shocking, right? What I find astounding though, is surely these 2 should have been sectioned, right? I also see a video of Sabina inside the police station talking to the officers after the motorway incident. And she said to one of the officers, and I quote, "We have a saying in Sweden that an accident rarely comes alone. Usually at least one more follows, maybe 2. Was she saying I'm going to do something crazy again? I think so, and it was proved right. What I also found crazy was that in unreleased footage you can hear one of the officers saying we should place these 2 on a section 136. This basically gives them the power to remove a person from a public place to a place of safety if they appear to be suffering from a mental disorder and in an immediate need of care or control. If they were to follow through with this, then maybe Mr. Hollingshead would still be alive. Both prosecution and defence claimed that Sabina was insane at the time of the killing, just not at the trial. The defence claimed that Sabina was a secondary sufferer of folie à deux, which is French for a madness of the 2, going on to claim that she had transmitted insanity from her twin sister Ursula. She was given a 5-year prison sentence in which she served just 439 days before moving back to Sweden, where apparently she has gone into hiding, never to be heard of again. This is just one fucked up story. Actually, it's not a story, it's fact. The more I looked into this, the more disturbing it became, and before I knew it, I'd gone down that rabbit hole again. This now brings me on to my conclusion. Were these 2 twins really that inseparable that they could read each other's minds? Could they feel each other's thoughts? Fact, fiction, or bullshit? Well, ladies, gents and people, it's all bullshit. However, after doing my research, folie à deux is a real life thing. Folie à deux is a rare shared psychotic disorder involving 2 or more people who share a delusion or a false belief. Symptoms include paranoia, being suspicious of others, fearful, anxious, anger, hallucinations, suicidal thoughts and insomnia. Most of them these 2 sisters had, as we've heard in this podcast. Like I said earlier though, why? Why not sectioned? Why was Sabina allowed to make a threat like she did and yet still be released? Why not more witnesses? Everything to me is hush-hush. The only things to come out was the motorway incident and the murder. And why does no one remember him on the ferry or the coach? Surely if you commit a crime like she did, why was she released so early? Why did they release her from the police station without telling her where her sister was too? I could never imagine how shocking this would be when I first started doing my research into this podcast. It's as shocking as it is morbid, which as you know is why I just had to look into it. Wow, what a podcast. So many questions and not enough answers. I couldn't imagine for one bit what it'd be like to have a mental illness. It affects everyone in different ways, just like it did with these two sisters. They truly were not well. Did the punishment fit the crime too? I have my answer, but I will let you ladies and some people make your own assumptions. Thank you for all the love recently too, it really means a lot. Thank you for the follows on Spotify as well, that's amazing. If you like this podcast and you know someone else who might like it, share it with them. Let's help this podcast grow. And as per usual, if you're new, if you could also follow me on Spotify, that would be great too. So remember, look after yourselves and each other, and until next time.